All right, guys, so Easter Sunday is always a time where we reflect upon the resurrection of Christ. This is the cornerstone of the Christian belief. As she says in the Bible, Paul writes that without the resurrection, our faith is basically futile, meaning it's basically pointless. Because if Jesus didn't raise from the grave, then he really wasn't like unlike anybody else. So the fact that Jesus died and then rose from the grave, it changes everything. Because the fact that he's alive today, it shows that he is of God. He is God, not a God. He is God in the flesh, and that he is our Savior. But more than just that, it also has implications for us for all of eternity. Because Jesus rose from the grave, because he is our Savior, because he is alive today, it changes the way we live now here on earth, and it changes, obviously, our eternity if we put our faith and trust in him. So that's what I want to kind of focus on this morning, because I know us in the room, we're Christians, we've been Christians for a while, and so you've probably heard the resurrection story for quite some time. And so I want to put a little bit different perspective on it about how the resurrection story should impact Christians. If you've already given your life to Christ, you've already put your faith in him, what does this mean for us today? How does this change the way we currently live our lives here on earth? And so the resurrection story that we're going to focus in on, and you can go to different places in the Bible, the one we're going to look at is Luke chapter 24. So if you guys want to go there, it's Luke chapter 24. And it's going to be verses 1 through 9. Luke 24, 1 through 9. And I'm going to go ahead and read it off to you guys. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women were with them, came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest." So I want you guys to focus in on verse 7, okay? I want you guys to focus in on verse 7 this morning. Verse 7 says, "Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." So I put the title of this lesson, "Living as Though You Are Redeemed." So if you know Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you know he rose from the grave 3 days later, and we've known this now for thousands of years, and we know this, then we are redeemed if we put our faith in Jesus. Yes. Luke chapter 24. Yes, good question. So that means redeemed means that Jesus has paid the penalty that we deserve. He died on the cross for our sins, and if we put our faith in him, and we follow him, we turn away from those sins, we know we have eternal life. So if you know that, and you are considered the redeemed in the Bible, God says, you know, blessed are those that are the redeemed or whatnot. And so, living as though you are redeemed. So here's what I want you guys to think about here. Number one is, if you're living as though you are redeemed, it means that you live with a certain confidence and forgiveness. Capitalize that, that's okay. Alright, so here's what I mean by that. Your sins are forgiven because obviously we know that God sent Jesus to die for all of our sins. So a lot of times Christians, though, although we know that in our mind, when we make a mistake, we still kind of sometimes think the world is over, or that now all of a sudden God can't use us. Sometimes as church, we've grown up in church, we've grown up with the mindset of that now that we're a Christian, now that we are the redeemed, we have to live perfect. And it means that we should be striving, we're going to talk about that, striving to live a life that honors and glorifies God. But we're still human. We still have human nature within us. And so even though you've been a Christian for 5, 10, 20 years or whatnot, there's a good chance you're still going to make a mistake later on in life. Maybe small, maybe large, maybe many mistakes. Because that human nature is still pulling at you. It's kind of like a tug-of-war match in life. You have the Holy Spirit that now lives within you, pulling you toward God's will and the things that God approves of. But you also have the devil pulling you away from God into things that he doesn't approve of. Because the more the devil can get you to do things that God doesn't approve of and to turn away from God, the more he may be able to hold you back from sharing the gospel with others or really furthering God's kingdom the way he wants you to. That makes sense? So you have this tug of war match. And let's say this is the middle of the road. Okay? And on this side you have the Holy Spirit. And on this side you have what we'll call the flesh and Satan. Okay? And this is where you have to decide. And that's why people say it's a battle every day in the Christian life. Because every day you have to make decisions. Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead, or are you going to give way and let Satan win today? And it's funny because at work, we had a person give a devotion, and we had to write sticky notes after the devotion that said, "Not today, Satan," and put it on our computers. So it reminded you when you walked in, like, don't let Satan win today, because each day is a new battle. It's a new kind of challenge. Because you might wake up one morning being the best way possible, and then something crazy happens out of your control. Well, the question is, how are you going to respond to that? Are you going to let Satan take your joy that day, or are you going to let the Holy Spirit win? And so there's a constant tug-of-war battle each and every day of your life. And inevitably, you're probably going to let Satan win some days. But just because you let Satan win a battle or two here and there, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden I'm a lost cause, there's no hope for me, I might as well give tomorrow to Satan too. No, if you fall down on your face, if you get pulled over by Satan on a day, get back up, turn back to God, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you back on the right path. And that's what's so important to know about, that if you are redeemed, you have that forgiveness. You should have that kind of confidence in God, knowing that even if I fall on my face today, tomorrow is a new day, and God's mercies are new every morning. So even though I made a bad mistake yesterday, I made a bad mistake today, it doesn't mean that I'm doomed now for the rest of the week or the rest of the year. Pick yourself back up, turn back to God, and God can even take those mistakes you made and use them for his glory. I put here that it means that God sees more to you than just your mistakes. He sees the person he created to uniquely shape the world for him. And each of you has a unique purpose for God. He created you with certain gifts and certain abilities, and he wants to use you in a powerful way for his kingdom. And just because you get off track here and there, you make a mistake here and there, doesn't mean that all of a sudden, oh, he's not going to use you anymore. God hates you. His love is never changing for you. He loves you more today than he can ever love you. He loves you completely each and every day. And so when you make a mistake, pick yourself back up, ask forgiveness, turn away from that, and keep going forward. And God's still going to use you with your unique gifts and your unique skill set that he's given you for a wonderful purpose for his kingdom. And I want you guys to think about something here. It also means that when we make a mistake, we know it's not over. And if we ask forgiveness and repent, God still uses us because his love is unwavering toward us. It means God takes our mistakes and actually would use those to lead others to him when we give it to him. Think about this. Think about all the people that you know that are great preachers or great missionaries or evangelists. Most of them had really rough lives in the beginning. They made some bad mistakes. They fell on hard times. They traveled. They let the devil win for several days or years maybe even. And then they decided that, hey, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And I'm going to start allowing the Holy Spirit to control my life and guide me. I'm going to start following God's plan and God's will instead. He took all their bad mistakes, all the times they fell on their face, and used them for his glory. Meaning that he used their mistakes, their downfalls, to then lead others that are also struggling through those things to Christ through that person. So think about somebody that's addicted. You talked about addiction earlier. That's addicted to drugs or was addicted to pornography or whatever it may look like. Whatever kind of addiction you may have. And if that person gives her life to Christ and comes out of that, they can now be used to help other people come out of that same addiction. Because they can show the other side of it. They can show how the Holy Spirit redeemed them and how much better it is now living a life that honors God than living a life that they were living. Does that make sense? So I want you guys to start seeing sin in that way. That yes, it's something that caused Jesus to go on the cross for us. And it's something we have to turn away from. But if we sin, it's not just over. And it's not like, oh, all of a sudden our life has to stop. It means pick ourselves back up, repent, turn back to Jesus. He's going to use those mistakes for his glory in the future. Now, I want you guys to think about this on the second caveat, and this is where a lot of times we do focus in on, but it is an important point to make. If you live as though you're redeemed, it means you seek to live righteously. Now, this is something that is important as Christians. If somebody knows you're a Christian and you look no different than the rest of the world looks, then why would they also want to be a Christian? You know, they should see a difference in you. And so if you have this kind of joy, this peace about you, this love and this comfort that only comes through a relationship with Jesus, they're going to see that and they're going to want to know where that comes from. And you can point them back to Jesus. It also means that you have to understand that your sins led to the cross. Your sins are what put Jesus on the cross in the first place. Yeah, Aaron?
Could you show your kids how a Christian can work? Wouldn't that just make that the norm for them and not like the exceptional?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so Aaron made a good point. If you grow your kids up in a Christian home and show them how, you know, parents are supposed to treat one another, how they're supposed to treat their children, you show them love, forgiveness, and grace, then there comes a norm for them. But see, the world today that we're living in is so anti-Christian that that's not the norm for the world. So even though it's normal to you, which is good, when you start living that way to the rest of the world, they look at that and say, wow, how is he living that way? And how does he have all this kind of love and forgiveness? You know, and hopefully that will point the rest of the world back to Jesus as well. But yeah, if you start living that way regularly and you're taught from an early age, that's why it's important to grow your kids up in the right way, then it does become normal. It becomes natural to you. It does. It becomes more natural. But, oh, yeah, I know. Okay, so I also want you guys to think about this. If you know what your sins lead to and the damage they still cause, you should be doing the best to live a life free of sin. Here's what I mean by that. Oh, guys, the boss is there. Just let it sit. It's okay. So listen, if you know the damage your sin causes, and think about this, even though you know it caused Jesus to go on the cross for us, it also causes earthly damage too. Because when you sin against God, you're going to do things contrary to the Bible. One, that's going to hurt Jesus and the relationship you have with him, because it hurts God when you sin. It hurts Jesus when you sin and do things against him. Just like a parent with a child, when their child does things that they don't approve of, and you tell your child to do this and to do the other thing, it hurts that parent because you want that child to respect you. And true love respects and obeys. And also, you know that it causes earthly effects. It hurts other people as well. Many times you start living a path of sin, it not only affects you, but it affects all those around you as well, whether you believe it or not. You know, if you start using language you shouldn't use, it also affects those you talk to. You know, you start saying things you shouldn't say to people, you start saying mean things and perverted things, it hurts people. And so, if you know that, you should want to live a life free of that. If you know that Jesus has redeemed you from that, you should live as though you are redeemed. And here's what I mean by that. It doesn't mean beating yourself up about a sin or dreadfully mourning about it, or being depressed for a while, but it means you know what your sins lead to, what great forgiveness you do have through Jesus that you don't deserve, and the kind of love that Jesus has for you that you don't desire to live in any way that brings hurt to him or others. And if you truly love Jesus, here's what you guys think about. If you truly love Jesus, you will follow in his commands. If you read John, or 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, it's all about loving Jesus. Of the commandments. Yeah. So if you truly love Jesus, you will follow in his commands, or commandments. What that means is this, and all throughout 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, it talks about if you love Jesus, you follow him. Think about your relationship with your parents or your teachers at school, okay? They're going to give you a lot of instructions. They're going to tell you, do this, don't do this, you know, that kind of thing. If they always tell you to do something and you always do the opposite, they're going to feel what? Disrespect. They're going to feel like you don't really care about them, you don't value them, that kind of thing. But if they tell you, hey, go clean up your room, or go set the table, and you do it, you don't ask questions, they're going to think, wow, that person really cares about it. They listen to me, and they respect me. The same thing is true with Jesus. If you understand what he did for you, and that he redeemed you of your sins, he is the Savior of the world, then you're going to want to live the way that he's calling you to live. Because you know, that's the way that brings him glory. That's the way that brings him joy. And so, when you're living that way, it means to think about your actions. Before you commit something, think about, is this going to hurt Jesus, or is this going to bring him glory? Is this going to hurt Jesus, or is this going to bring him glory? And if it's going to hurt Jesus, don't do it. And don't do it just because, not just because the Bible says so, but don't do it because you love Jesus, and because you want to show him respect. You want to show him honor. You know, your parents and your teachers deserve honor and respect as well, but nobody deserves as much respect as Jesus does. So if you can show respect to those people in life, you can definitely show respect to Jesus. And that also means that while you're in church, while you're worshiping Jesus on Sunday mornings, you're paying attention to the sermon. You're trying to take in what the Bible is saying. When you're worshiping, you're truly worshiping to praise God, not just to do it because everybody else is doing it. It means you're here for the right reasons, your heart's in the right place, and you're truly trying to take in what God has for you. And again, that shows respect, and it shows love. And when you respect and follow his commandments, that's the purest kind of love you can show Jesus. So the last thing I want you guys to talk about is this. Last thing I want to share this one part here. It's in Romans. Okay, Romans is a beautiful book, by the way, if you want to do some deep study on your own and pick a book. And the Bible is really good for new believers as well. Romans chapter 8 says this right here. This is really important for us today. It says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, which he talked about, but according to the Spirit, which he talked about. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on his account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Think about that. To be living a life of the flesh leads to death. It leads to destruction. It leads to depression, anxiety, all those kind of things. To live a life guided by the Holy Spirit leads to life and peace. And even though you may not have all the most wealth and power and fame in the world, you have a peace that's outside of this world. And you know that when you get to heaven one day, you'll be rewarded for what your faithfulness here, and those gifts will last for an eternity. And they'll be far better than anything you can get here on earth. And they'll be worth it in the end. Your life here is just a drop in the bucket to eternity, eventually. Now, I want you guys to think about this here. This is what I want you guys to think about. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone is not in the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. For if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells with you. And he goes on to say that if you live in the Spirit, does that mean you should continue on in sin? And he says, no, absolutely not. What he means by that is that if you've tasted the Holy Spirit, you've tasted the life that God called you to live, his Spirit now dwells in you, you should never want to go back to your old life. Because you know what that leads to. And you know what this leads to. And it should inspire you, and it should convince you to live a life that honors God. Because you know the difference between the two. And so it's saying there's no condemnation. There is forgiveness if you make a mistake. But just because there's forgiveness doesn't mean you abuse forgiveness. Think about it with your parents again. Just because you know your mom or your dad would forgive you if you went out to that party and did some things you shouldn't do that night, does it mean you should go out to that party and do those things? No. Because you're still going to make bad mistakes. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt others. And you're going to ultimately hurt God. And so just because you know there's forgiveness doesn't mean you abuse forgiveness. It means you know that, so you desire even more so to live a life that honors God, where you don't have to ask for forgiveness anymore, because you're living a life that glorifies Him. And the last thing I want you guys to think about here, we're going to close, is number three is,
no, put your friends away.
You have a passion to share the gospel. Now, I want you guys to catch this last part here in Matthew, or Luke, I'm sorry. It's in verses 8 through 9. Catch this one more time. I want you guys to really pay attention to this today as you go out after service. In verses 8 through 9 say, and they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb, now catch this, and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. So the first thing the disciples did after they realized Jesus rose from the dead is they ran to go tell other people. Think about that. That's the very first response we see here. As soon as the disciples knew that Jesus rose from the dead, they realized this, and they finally clicked in their minds, oh man, Jesus is alive. Their first response was to run and go tell other people. Many times today, because we've been a Christian for a long time, we lose that power, that power and that passion, that fire that we used to have. When you first became a Christian, maybe it was in a church camp, maybe it was a revival. You were on fire for Jesus more than likely. And you want other people to know about it. But then as time goes on, the world attacks you. You get these tug-of-war battles day in and day out. And maybe you stop reading your Bible. You stop going to church as much. You stop paying attention. You have the wrong heart about things. You come farther away from Christ. And when you do that, you begin to stop seeing that fire and that passion that God wants you to have. And so I encourage you this morning, if you've lost that fire, if you've lost that passion, start diving back into God's Word again on your own time. Start praying that God reveals to you how you can share with other people. Pray that God puts people in your path that need to know the gospel. And pray that God shows you how to share it with them. Because the thing is, if you know this truth, if you have been redeemed of your sins, and you know that now I can live eternity with Jesus when I die, even though I don't deserve that, and you know that same gift is available to all people, you should have a passion and desire to share that with those people. And think about this with your friends. They're at school. Probably many or most of your friends are not Christians, just because most of the world is not. So it's just a reality today. But the truth is, if you truly love your friends, just like if you truly love Jesus, you want the best things for them. And the best thing you can do for your friend is to show them how to have eternal life in Jesus. To show them a life that will actually give them peace and love and joy. So if you neglect to share Jesus with your friends because you're afraid they may laugh at you or make fun of you or something like that, I get that, because I have that same kind of pushback a lot of times in my life. But we have to rise above that, knowing that that's going to show them the ultimate love, because if they do accept Christ, we just point them to the greatest kids in all history. And we just showed that person how to now have not only life here, this full, but also a life eternity living with Jesus. And when you die one day and you go to heaven and you see that person in heaven there with you, knowing you had a small part in that, Because you shared the gospel with them, and they accepted Christ. Maybe it wasn't right then. Maybe it was down the road. Maybe it was right then. But they accepted Christ, and you see them in heaven. What a great gift that would be for you for all eternity. Knowing that you are in heaven with that person, both praising Jesus, both doing things that God wants you to do, because you had a small part in sharing the gospel with that person. And think about all the earthly friends you have, all the earthly, you know, gifts. Those things are great, but we're all going to pass away. And if you truly love your friends, you want to spend eternity with them. And you want to spend eternity in the best place. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts we'll receive in heaven, is seeing all the people that we share the gospel with that turn to Jesus. No, we have just a small part in that. God lets us have a small part in that. And that because of our obedience to God and our love for Jesus and our love for them, they're in heaven with us forever. What a great, great time that's going to be. And so as we leave here, I want you to think about this. The disciples were so on passion and fire for Jesus, they were prepared to give everything for the cause. And most of them, besides one, died for the gospel because they refused to back down from sharing the gospel. Because it was that important to them that other people knew Jesus. Is it that important to you? What would you give up to share the gospel with somebody? What are you willing to sacrifice so your friend can hear the gospel and come to Jesus? Are you willing to sacrifice your reputation? Are you willing to sacrifice your popularity? Are you willing to sacrifice, you know, your comfort zone? What are you willing to sacrifice? And what you're willing to sacrifice will show where your faith is and how strong your commitment truly is to Jesus. So think about that today. Jesus sacrificed it all for you on the cross. How much are you willing to sacrifice for him to have his message reach the lost today? And whatever that answer is, that shows you where your heart's at and where your commitment level is to Christ. And if it's not where you want it to be, I encourage you again, on your private time, dive deeper. Give your life back to Christ. Talk to somebody about that if you need to. And get that relationship back in the right place. So you can truly live as though you are redeemed. I'm going to go ahead and stop the video here.